This morning, brethren and sisters, I am required to bring my exposition of the Lord's Mount Olivet prophecy to its conclusion. What I propose doing is to try to cover the remaining verses in the chapter fairly quickly, and then to, if we have the time, to consider a few of the questions that were submitted and which were not considered in the question period last evening. Some of the questions are most interesting questions and deserve to be considered together if we have the time to do it. Now, the Lord has said, we've arrived at verse 35, and the Lord has said, heaven and earth shall pass away, and we have seen how that upon the basis of the prophets, the passing away of the heaven and earth is undoubtedly the passing away of the nation of Israel as politically organized with its rulers and its ruled, and this was to pass away. The words of the Lord Jesus would not pass away. He says in verse 36, of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven. Notice how that reinforces that point we tried to make yesterday, that angels of themselves are not necessarily divine beings, but here it is the angels of heaven, divine beings, and they didn't know the day or the hour. Only the Father knew the precise time when these judgments would fall upon the nation of Israel. But Jesus had given to his disciples the signs so that if they watched carefully, they would know of the approach of the judgments that he had warned them would come upon that nation. And so, in these final verses, he gives to them a most urgent warning, a warning of impending judgment which would overtake not only the nation of Israel, but which would overtake many in the household of faith among the Jewish people. And he gives to them an exhortation that as the signs of the times became manifest, as their judgments approached, an exhortation to watch. And so he says in verse 42, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. And so they had to watch the signs of the times. They had to be on their toes, looking for the wars, the nation rising against nation, the famines, the earthquakes, the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place. And he exhorts them to watch, and bases his exhortation to watch upon the experiences of those who lived in the days of Noah. Verse 37. As the days of Noah were, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. And so upon the experiences of the men and women of Noah's day, upon the experiences of the brethren and sisters in the ecclesia of Noah's day, the Lord exhorts his disciples to watch, to observe the signs of the times. Now, the judgments that would overtake the nation of Israel when the Son of Man came in judgment against that nation were to be compared with the judgments that overtook the world of Noah's day. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. The judgments of Noah's day were to be patterned, were to be imitated, were to be followed by similar judgments upon the nation of Israel. Now the judgments in Noah's day were judgments poured upon a people in which the mass of the people were destroyed and the world was overturned, and saved out of that destruction was a small group of people who were permitted to continue their mortal existence upon the earth. As it was in the days of Noah, so it would be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Now, in the 17th chapter of Luke's Gospel, where we have got the same message, albeit on a different occasion, the Lord Jesus brings in the days of Lot. And we say exactly the same message. Luke chapter 17 is already referred to the judgments that were poured out upon the world of Noah's day. And he goes on to say in verse 28, likewise also, Luke 17, verse 28, likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And so the judgments that were poured out upon the nation of Israel when the Son of Man was revealed in judgment against them were to be like the judgments that were poured upon the cities of the plain. And when the judgments were poured upon the cities of the plain, there was the destruction of the sinners, the overturning of that world that was in existence in the plain, and mortal people were saved out of it and were allowed to continue their mortal existence before God. As it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, so it would be in the days when the Son of Man came against his people. Now, in what particulars would the days of Noah be like the days of the coming of the Son of Man? Verse 38. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. The days of the coming of the Son of Man would be days in which the brethren and sisters of the ecclesia, because that was the tragedy in Noah's day. The tragedy in Noah's day was that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair and took them wives. And as a result of that apostasy from the truth, developed a corrupt way of life which God by his judgments had to remove from the face of the earth. And it would be thus in the Jewish ecclesias toward the end of the age. As it was in the days of Noah, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, giving their time and their attention to the material things in life, so that they would be blinded to the word of God that had come to them through the prophets, through the Lord Jesus Christ, and through the New Testament apostles and prophets. And the Apostle Peter, and we've seen as we pursued our studies this week, that there are many parallel lines of thought between this Olivet prophecy and between the second letter of Peter. For Peter wrote to these same Jewish brethren and sisters. The Apostle Peter speaks of these same days in the same terms as the Lord here in the Olivet prophecy. 2 Peter 3 and verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days of the nation of Israel, the last days of which this same apostle spoke on the day of Pentecost, when he said, this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel, it shall come to pass in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit. And there it was, they were speaking with tongues. And so Peter here says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? You apostles, you've been warning us of the coming of Jesus in judgment against our nation. Where is it? Not necessarily openly in the ecclesias, denying the impending coming of the Lord in judgment against that nation, but by the very lives that they were living, walking after their own lusts, and by the lives that they were living, saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And then Peter goes on to say, have they not stopped to consider what happened in the days of Noah? It's going to happen again. The heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And so the days of the coming of the Son of Man were to be like the days of Noah, because in the ecclesias at that time, as the judgments of God upon Israel approached, there would be an apostasy in the ecclesias comparable to that which took place in the days of Noah. Now, is there any evidence in the Word of God that the words of Jesus were fulfilled? That the warnings of Peter were fulfilled? That the scoffers came? That they walked after their lusts? That they said by the lives they lived, where is the promise of his coming? And of course there is. And it comes out very clearly, particularly in Jude's epistle, where Jude, we believe, wrote to these same brethren and sisters at a time later to that when Peter wrote his letter. And brethren and sisters, what a shocking state the ecclesias were in at this time. And we need to think very carefully of our own position as we too approach the end of an age and compare our ecclesias with the ecclesias of the nation of Israel. He says there are certain men crept in unawares. They were there in the ecclesia when Jude wrote his letter. Certain men crept in unawares, of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying our only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. These were in the ecclesia. And so he goes on to say at verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, as it was in the days of Lot, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire, likewise also these filthy dreamers. In the ecclesia, brethren and sisters, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. He says, woe unto them, verse 11, they've gone in the way of Cain. He said in verse 12, there's spots in your feasts of charity, the agape, the breaking of bread. They were there on Sunday. Spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feasting themselves without fear. He says in verse 16, they're murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts. And their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But ye, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. And so they were there. The word of God, the word of the Lord Jesus, had been fulfilled. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it was in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And as the day of judgment approached, there was this wholesale apostasy in the Jewish ecclesias, led astray by brethren who crept in unawares and who denied and scoffed at the warnings that had been handed down through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now there was to be another way in which the days of the coming of the Son of Man were like the days of Noah. And that is in which the way in which the judgments came upon the ecclesia. Now this is important, I believe, brothers and sisters, because see how easy it is to come to the Word of God with a preconceived idea and to read that idea into the Word of God. Now, I think that's what we have done with the Olivet prophecy in this particular case. Now, yesterday we looked at verse 31. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And I suspect that the majority of brethren and sisters from Sunday school up have had the idea that when the Lord comes and we see the sign in the heavens, the angels will come and whisk away the believers, and we say, there it is, Lord. Verse 40. There shall be two in the field. The one shall be taken by the angels and the other left. But it's not saying that. It doesn't say that at all. We considered that these angels, we believe, are the preachers of the gospel among the Gentiles. Now this verse 40. When the Son of Man comes in judgment against this wicked nation, then there shall be two in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left, as it was in the days of Noah. The flood came and took them. It was the flood that took them all away. It was the judgment that would take the one in the field and leave the other. This word take does not mean to snatch away and to bear up and to take through the air. It means what it says, to lead away, just as in the 27th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Verse 27, we read of the Lord Jesus, that the soldiers of the governor took Jesus and they took him away to be condemned and to die on the cross. And so the ones who are taken are the ones who are taken by the judgment. There shall be two working in the field, two farm laborers, one taken and the other left. And the word left does not mean left behind. It means to be spared. One shall be taken and the other shall be saved, shall be spared. It's the same word that we've already met in this chapter, where in verse 2 Jesus says concerning the stones of the temple, there shall not be left here, there shall not be spared one stone upon another, they shall not be thrown down. And so the ones who are left are the ones who are saved from the judgment. The ones who listen to the words of Jesus and who watch, and when they see the signs of the times are obedient to the words of Jesus. Let him that is in Judea flee to the mountains, and so they escape the judgments that come upon the Jewish nation. And so the ones who are left are the ones who are spared. Now look at Luke 17 again, just to see that we've got it the right way round. It's the same teaching, verse 34, I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. And they say, where, Lord? Where will he be taken to? He says, wheresoever the body is, there will the eagles be gathered together. He says the one that is taken will be overtaken by the eagle nation coming to prey upon the carcass of the nation of Israel. When the nation of Rome comes and preys upon the body politic of the nation of Israel, those who are taken will be those who have failed to listen to the words of Jesus and who are overtaken with the judgments that are poured out at that time. Because they fail to heed the words of the Lord, that is why they would be overtaken by these judgments. Now, when Peter wrote about these same times in his epistle, speaking of this day of the Lord that would come upon the nation, he draws out of the Olivet prophecy those well-known words. He says, "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The long-suffering of God waited as it waited in the days of Noah, waited for the brethren and sisters to repent and to turn to the living God. But the time came when the long-suffering of God could wait no longer, and the day of the Lord came as a thief in the night. Overtook them by surprise because they weren't watching." And Peter is drawing out of the Lord's teaching here in the Olivet prophecy, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up." And so there's the exhortation to heed the words of Jesus, to watch, to look for the signs of the times, so that they might be ready to flee to the mountains. And of course, it's well known that Eusebius records how that in obedience to a certain oracle, the believers fled to Pella, a city in Perea. And then in these final verses, he speaks to his disciples. He's told them that the Son of Man will come as a thief in the night, in such an hour as ye think not, stealthily. And when he came, even the servants in the household, not the entire household, but the servants in the household. You've got to put this in the apostolic context of apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers who were servants in the household. And even the servants in the household will be divided into two groups when the Son of Man came in judgment. And so he says, verse 45, "Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods." And so when the Son of Man came in judgment, there was to be a group of servants in the ecclesia who are represented here by the faithful and wise servant whom the Lord had already made ruler over the household to provide the household with meat in due season. And if they were faithfully discharging their responsibilities when the Lord came, they would receive his blessing. This description of servants in the household, brethren and sisters, can apply to no man alive today. There is no man alive today, no group of men alive today, who have been appointed by the Lord as rulers over the household to provide meat in due season. We have to place this in the apostolic context of a group of servants who had been given the Holy Spirit to minister to the needs of the household and placed in certain positions in the ecclesia as apostles or prophets or pastors or teachers. And those who were faithfully discharging their responsibilities were the faithful and the wise servant class. In great contrast to those of whom the Lord goes on to speak when he says in verse 48, "But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming," there would come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? If that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and to drink, to follow his own lusts with the drunkard," the Lord of that servant would come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. It would be the evil servants who would fail to discern the signs of the times, and that there were evil servants in abundance in the ecclesia, there can be no doubt at all. Again, the Apostle Peter had warned them, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, that there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And, says the Apostle, many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And it was fulfilled in the lifetime of the apostles before the judgments came, so that the Apostle John can write, "Little children, it is the last time, it is the last hour. As ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits." Those who claim to have the gifts of the Holy Spirit, try the spirits. "For many false prophets are gone out into the world." And again the apostle can speak of a certain class in the ecclesia and speak of them and say, "They are false apostles." Not just little upstarts, false apostles in the ecclesia, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And so it was in the ecclesia that they developed, as the day of judgment approached, an evil servant class who led astray disciples after them. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, and who failed to discern the signs of the times, and who, when the judgments came upon the nation of Israel and upon Jewry, were overtaken by those judgments because they failed to heed the words of the Lord Jesus. And what happened to them? Verse 51. "The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites." The hypocrites. Notice he doesn't say he'll cut him asunder because he is a hypocrite. He undoubtedly was. But he will appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. Well, they've been with him, haven't they, these disciples, earlier in the day, when he rounded on the scribes and the Pharisees, and he said, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites." When he went on to say, "You're the children of those that killed the prophets. You're going to fill up the measure of your fathers. Woe unto you, serpents, generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of Gehenna, all the judgments of God that were written concerning them were to be poured out upon those hypocrites. All these things shall come upon this generation. And so Jesus says concerning the evil servant, he'll appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. That when the judgments came over the nation of Israel, the evil servants would suffer at the hands of God. And so, brothers and sisters, the apostate, faithless brethren and sisters of Jewry were overtaken by the most terrible, the most far-reaching judgments of God ever to be poured out upon a nation. Judgments which have affected the whole course of human history since the time they were poured out. And judgments which, in the grace and the mercy of God, have allowed God, in his consummate wisdom, to turn to the Gentiles. And during this period, when the nation of Israel is downtrodden and oppressed, to take out of the Gentiles a people for his name. And it's the prophet Jeremiah who speaks of these judgments of God, and he says, Yahweh called thy name a green olive tree, fair and of goodly fruit. That's the answer, by the way, to whoever asked the question, why does it in Luke's gospel say, behold the fig tree and all the trees? Because Israel, in the Old Testament, is a fig tree, a vine tree, a cedar tree, an olive tree. And there's something to be learned from all the trees about the nation of Israel. In fact, we didn't have time yesterday to go into this, but you remember when it putteth forth leaves and her branches tender. That's taken up in Ezekiel 17. Of Israel as a cedar tree, and how that God takes off the uppermost branch of the cedar tree, a tender one, and plants him upon Mount Zion. But here Jeremiah says, Yahweh called thy name a green olive tree, fair and of goodly fruit. And then he said, with the noise of a great tumult. And in the Septuagint, that's the same words that Jesus used in the Olivet prophecy, a great tribulation. With the noise of a great tribulation, he hath kindled fire upon it, and the branches are broken. And so it was in the pouring out of the judgments of God that branches were broken off of the olive tree, the nation of Israel. So that we, who are wild by nature, could be grafted into that same Israelitish tree. Because of unbelief, says the apostle, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he spare not thee. Now, I'd like to bring the series to a conclusion with a prayer that we shall sing together. It's hymn number 250.